400 years ago yesterday, on March 12, 1622, there was a canonization in Rome. And as we look over history, this was no ordinary canonization. This was almost kind of a Super Bowl of canonizations, I think, because in one and the same canonization mass, several great kind of giants of our faith were canonized saints. In particular, several saints who were part of the Catholic Reformation of the time. These five saints were Saint Isidore, the farmer. He was probably maybe the least known of the five, at least in our day. But then along with him were canonized Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, Francis Xavier, one of his first followers, and as many have commented, probably the greatest Catholic missionary after St. Paul. Teresa of Avila, the great reformer of the Carmelite order, and Philip Neri, who founded the Oratory and was known especially for his joyful and even humorous approach to our faith. These are great heroes of our faith, these saints who were all canonized at one and the same time on that day 400 years ago. You know, saints are canonized ultimately for two reasons. The first is for their intercession. When they're canonized, a saint is held up before us as someone to whom we can offer our prayers and our devotion. For they, after living extraordinarily holy lives on earth and meriting so many graces from our Lord by their fidelity to him, now are before him, beholding him face to face, and we entrust our prayers to them. They bring them before the Lord. So they're canonized to encourage us to seek their intercession. And secondly, for the sake of our imitation, they're held up as examples for us, models to follow, models of the Christian life well lived. Every time someone is canonized, in a way, each of us should be reminded that you and I are all called to be saints. This ultimately is finally the purpose of our lives, to become saints. If you exist, you're called to be a saint. And especially if you've been baptized, you've received this call, this vocation from the Lord to become a saint. Each of us is chosen and called like Abraham in the first reading for a particular purpose in God's plan. Each of us is chosen and called like St. Paul and Peter and James and John to become saints. And I think in our second reading today, in St. Paul's words to the Philippians, we're reminded ultimately of what it means to heed this call to become a saint. When St. Paul said to us, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Those simple words, "Our citizenship is in heaven." I think to live saintly lives means striving to always be mindful of that truth. Because living as we do on earth in a kind of exile from our ultimate homeland, it's easy for us to forget this, to get distracted and attached to all the things of this world, good as they may be, but to fail to remember that you and I are merely pilgrims here on earth, but that our citizenship, our ultimate homeland, is heaven. And the more we can live with that goal in mind, that ultimate destiny, the more then everything else takes on its proper place, its proper perspective. The more I make every decision and choice throughout each day in light of that ultimate goal and destiny of my life, the more I will be following that path of sanctity that the saints of the church have shown us in their holy lives. And yet we also must remember that even though we're not made for this world in the end, that our citizenship is in heaven, this doesn't mean that our life on earth is meant to be just kind of like sitting around waiting until we get to heaven. Because at one and the same time, our path to that eternal life is by following God's will for me, being active in the ways that he calls me to be active in this life. We get a sense of this in the gospel today. Every second Sunday of Lent, we hear an account of our Lord's transfiguration on the mountain. This glimpse of glory of our Lord in the splendor of his transfigured body. And Peter's initial reaction, especially when he recognizes that it seems like this glimpse of glory is about to come to an end because Moses and Elijah are departing, Peter says, no, let's stay here. Let's just build 3 tents right here on the mountain. Because this is wonderful to be here with you, Lord, in glory. And yet Peter doesn't get his wish. The glimpse is short-lived and they have to go back down the mountain. Because our Lord had a mission to fulfill. He came not to enter into his glory on earth, but to go to the cross for our salvation. And the apostles, too, would have a particular mission from the Lord. They had to come back down the mountain in order to be then sent out into the world after our Lord's ascension and Pentecost, in order to bring the gospel out to the world, beginning the church's mission, which she has continued to carry out for 2,000 years now. You see, this glimpse of glory, this little foretaste of that destiny that Peter, James, and John were to have, and that all of us are given, this glimpse of glory was meant to galvanize them for their mission. It was meant to prepare them for the cross so that they wouldn't be put off by the scandal of the cross. And it was meant to motivate them to live their lives in such a way as to receive an eternal share in that little glimpse that they were given on the mountain. You know, every time we come here to Holy Mass, we have something of this experience. Because here, we behold our Lord transfigured, not in glory, but in the humility of the Eucharist. And as we gaze upon our Lord truly present here before us, and even more as we receive him in Holy Communion, he gives us a glimpse, literally a foretaste of heaven. He does so in order to galvanize us for the mission of living our lives with our eyes on heaven, but with that determination of the saints to do his will in even the smallest things. Let's ask him today for the grace to spend the week ahead mindful that our citizenship is in heaven. But also, let's ask him for the grace as until we are called to that eternal homeland, to pray and to work with great generosity and fidelity for Christ and for his kingdom during our days here on earth. St. Patrick, pray for us.